This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian,
Mike,
and Mark.
Of course, you can bring up anything that you want. We're launching into the third hour. In case you're just tuning in, you've missed a lot of discussion about the status of Bitcoin. What with SegWit2x, this discussion we've had over the last few weeks, and in depth within the last week, we really got in depth on what could possibly happen with the SegWit2x fork that was scheduled for next week, where Bitcoin was going to potentially split into two halves that would then, well, halves isn't the right word, but two holes that would be the same size at the beginning of the split, and then they'd be fighting over one another for market influence and mining power and hash rate and, you know, all these different things that that it can compete over. Turns out that's not going to happen now. The whole plan was called off today by several of the members of the development team or the people who were behind this so-called SegWit2x proposal, and I am ebullient about it. I feel so good that this has happened because it's going to result in a competition between just two Bitcoins, because earlier in August, Bitcoin already had its first historic schism into Bitcoin Cash and sort of the original Bitcoin, or aka Bitcoin Core. So we already had two Bitcoins, and now this SegWit2x was threatening to give us another one. And then there's this other thing called Bitcoin Gold that sort of forked off, but you say that that's a scam, basically, by some, you know, unscrupulous mining or hardware company, and we've yet to even see if that thing will survive its infancy, so to speak. So right now we basically have two existing Bitcoin competitors that are competing for market share, and I think that's enough because we've got there's a big difference between the two. One of them is this small block Bitcoin, which the people who are behind this particular Bitcoin have said things, some of them have said things publicly saying that they believe in this idea of keeping the blocks small. I believe one of the programmers even said he wanted to see smaller blocks than they currently have, which is insane because it seems insane to me.
Idea.
Because for the listeners that don't know, the blocks are kind of where the transactions get stored and verified in this thing called the blockchain, which is a public ledger that basically is the guts, a distributed, decentralized public ledger that is the guts of the Bitcoin network. So having larger block sizes, right now it's currently 1 megabyte in the Bitcoin or Bitcoin Core, aka Bitcoin Core, it's 1 megabyte. They were proposing to make it 2 megabytes with this SegWit2x change, but that is now off the table, which would have essentially doubled the headroom as far as the amount of transactions per second or per minute that could have been on those blocks. So that's off the table, which means that you're going to have Bitcoin, this sort of original beast that is now this unwieldy, very expensive thing that's out there, and it's slow to change. It only adjusts its difficulty every 2016 blocks, and that tends to be about every 2 weeks. Whereas you've got Bitcoin Cash, which is much more nimble, its fees are much lower because the Bitcoin Cash network isn't full. They increased their block size from 1 megabyte to 8 megabytes when they split off back in August, and they've been doing fine as far as their fees are concerned. I just sent a Bitcoin Cash transaction for 1.5 cents worth of Bitcoin Cash just a moment ago. So very, very affordable compared to the $3 to $4 to $5 that you're typically looking at for a median size transaction within the Bitcoin network. So you've got a much more nimble competitor now in Bitcoin Cash with plenty of room for growth versus this old, slow, you know, decrepit Bitcoin that is now only stuck with 1 megabyte blocks and stuck with this 2016 block difficulty adjustment. What happens there is every 2016 blocks, there's a regular reassessment where the Bitcoin protocol or network or whatever looks at its, you know, total difficulty and who's mining or whatever.
And according to the data, there's a difficulty adjustment downward coming up very soon.
When?
There was an article on Coin.dance.
Mm-hmm. That's a great site, by the way.
They were talking about this. Let me see if I
can. Yeah, if you can pull it up.
Let's keep talking, and I'll bring that up.
Sure. So when the difficulty adjustment happens, if more miners are in the game, if they're competing to mine Bitcoin, then usually that means the difficulty goes up, meaning that it gets harder to find the things that they're looking to find to uncover the new Bitcoins, doing the cryptographic math or whatever it is that those computers are doing. It gets harder. But if people leave Bitcoin mining, if they say, let's say they want to mine an altcoin instead, one of the competitors, or maybe they want to mine Bitcoin Cash rather than Bitcoin Core, if they leave the Bitcoin Core, then when the difficulty adjustment happens, the difficulty will adjust downward, and it'll get easier. And the idea is that if the difficulty gets easier, it'll actually attract more people back in to mining that, because it'll be easier to mine the Bitcoin. So we're in a situation now where it's going to be very interesting to watch and see what happens between these different Bitcoin miners. You mentioned Coin.dance, Mike. It's a great site that actually does a really interesting job of kind of keeping an eye on the different relationships between the two different competing Bitcoins out there. So there's a Coin.dance for Bitcoin, and then there's another one for Bitcoin Cash. So if you go and, for instance, you look at the Bitcoin Cash page, and then you click on blocks, it'll actually show you a comparison. It says here that right now it's 4% more profitable to mine the original chain. So to mine the Bitcoin Core chain, it's 4% more profitable. But basically for the last, looks like maybe the last several days, 4 or 5 days, both Bitcoin Core and Bitcoin Cash have been pretty much at parity. Sometimes Bitcoin Cash will be a little more profitable. Sometimes Bitcoin Core will be a little more profitable. And what's going to happen here in about, 4-ish days, less than 5 days, about 4 days, 16 hours and some change. There's a countdown at coin.dance, or excuse me, at cash.coin.dance, if you want to see it for yourself. There's going to be a hard fork of Bitcoin Cash. Did you know about that?
Oh. Yes.
So Bitcoin Cash is scheduled for a hard fork, for an upgrade.
Really?
They're going to be changing the difficulty adjustment mechanism within Bitcoin Cash, because what happened originally when Bitcoin Cash came out back in August was they had this emergency difficulty adjustment thing that they had programmed into it that the original Bitcoin didn't have.
Is this going to be called Bitcoin Cash Cash?
Well, it's not necessarily going to be a contentious fork.
2.0.
So the expectation is that the miners will go along with this with Bitcoin Cash, so it's probably not going to split into two. I suppose it could, but there's not been any announcement of any kind of contentiousness with this particular fork. So what had happened originally was, you know, Bitcoin Cash had split off with this what they call an emergency difficulty adjustment. So we talked about the 2016 block difficulty adjustment that Bitcoin had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bitcoin Cash had that, but they knew that when they broke away from Bitcoin, that they were going to have a tough time because, again, the difficulty of Bitcoin was very, very high, right? Bitcoin's the most popular cryptocurrency out there in the marketplace. It's been around forever. It's very, very high. People are competing on a tremendous level to mine Bitcoin. So what happened when Bitcoin Cash broke away was they knew they weren't going to have but a fraction of the mining power behind them. But if they had to get to 2016 blocks, that was a long way off. And
sure.
If their mining power is
adjusted the mining.
Right. If their mining power was very low to start, that meant that it was going to take forever to get to
there
that.
There was a lot of talk that Bitcoin Cash was going to get frozen up because of that if they didn't do that.
But that's why they implemented the emergency difficulty adjustment, which looked at a 12-block window and said, well, if the blocks are coming too slow over these 12, I'm oversimplifying this, okay, there's some technical stuff here, but if the blocks were coming too slowly, were being found too slowly over this 12-block sort of window of time, then they would do this emergency difficulty adjustment and they'd drop the difficulty like 20%. So, wham, huge difficulty adjustment. And then that makes it a lot easier for people to get in, more profitable. People then jumped in, which, of course, then the next emergency difficulty adjustment adjusted it upwards. And so they would have these spikes of difficulty adjustments that were hard to deal with. It made it so a lot of the miners were like, we don't want to keep jumping in and jumping out because it took like a day to switch from one to the next. At least it was for me at the Bitcoin mining pool at pool.bitcoin.com. And so you don't want to just keep jumping back and forth. It takes you a whole day to switch back and forth or whatever. So in that case, you know, this emergency adjustment was causing these unusual fluctuations. So that's what they're looking to fix in the upcoming hard fork that's happening in, again, less than 5 days. When they fix it, the Bitcoin Cash is going to have a difficulty adjustment every single day. And it's going to look at, I think, the last 144 blocks, basically, when it looks at it. But it's going to look at it and adjust
that's
every
a lot more dynamic.
Single day. And what's going to happen between that versus the old, slow 2016 blocks of the original Bitcoin Core? More coming up. Free talk
live. Don't do what I did and run out. If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop? Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Super Mega Fish Oil free.
Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I got my Blink Home security system delivered right to my door. I downloaded the app, and it walked me right through the easy setup. Even with my complicated router system, I was done in like 10 minutes. Now it notifies me whenever something moves in front of the wireless cameras, or I can just check it whenever I want right from my phone. And I got you a deal. Get 3 Blink cams for what the other guys charge you for one, plus an extra 10% off. Visit BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Dash is set up to succeed where other platforms have failed. Give it a try. Dash.org. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, your first home medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like Free Talk, or Free Talk Live. Yeah, I guess that's true. With you here tonight is Ian,
Mike,
and Mark.
Blink Home Security. You want to talk about easy installation? I think this is about as easy as it could possibly be. You don't have to do any kind of wiring. You don't have to set up a DVR system. It's just all just step by step. You just grab your tablet or smartphone, hook it up to your Wi-Fi, connect to the Wi-Fi of this Blink Home security system. It is so easy to install. Even Mark was able to do it in a matter of minutes.
Wow.
Three,
true.
You can get three Blink cams for what the other guys charge for one by going to blinkprotect.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. That's blinkprotect.com/FTL. And, of course, it's, you know, customizable. You can have it. You can set the amount of time you want it to clip the video when it goes off. It's motion detecting, so when it detects motion, you decide if you want it 5-second clip, a 30-second clip, you know, whatever amount you want. It gets delivered right to your phone no matter where you are, so you always know what's going on where you have these Blink cams. It works well. Go to blinkprotect.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. Just before we started the show tonight, I put the finishing touches on a blog post over at freekeen.com where I've been following these situations with Bitcoin and the changes that are afoot or were afoot about it, to kind of try to explain it in as easy to understand a manner as possible. And we've covered a lot of that information so far here tonight on Free Talk Live. But if you want a story that you can share with people who may not know everything about Bitcoin, I try to keep this as understandable as possible. So again, go check that out. It's over at freekeen.com. You can also find it on my Steemit profile as well, over at steemit.com. But there's a link that I thought we should explore here, because one of the questions is that I ask on the blog post, on one of the pictures on the blog post, is this Bitcoin civil war, is the Bitcoin geek war finally over, or is it just getting started? Was SegWit2x just one of the battles, the salvos in this geek war?
I thought SegWit2x was the end of the World War geek.
Uh-huh.
And so...
naive.
Yeah, well, apparently I was quite naive. But at this point, I want to know what they have to fight over.
Well, I think that
the claim to the throne.
Right. We're seeing these forks in Bitcoin because people are realizing that altcoins that may be essentially derivations of Bitcoin never really took off and gained market cap because they started from zero in terms of adoption.
Right. Sure.
And so they're people that want instant market cap are going to be drawn towards doing forks in order to gain that market cap.
Not yep. if they, and you would think so, but that's why I'm hoping Bitcoin Gold fails. Because if Bitcoin Gold, which is this sort of minority fork thing that happens, so there was the first fork of Bitcoin
right.
Cash, which happened back in August, on August 1st. Then about 2 weeks ago, there was this Bitcoin Gold fork that has not really materialized into anything at all because there's this testnet thing and they haven't even released this thing publicly. And it's just a you know, real mess, it seems like. So what? And you talked in a little more detail about this earlier. They don't have the mining power that they need to really get this thing off the ground, or that's the way it looks
right.
at this point. They're not even done with the software yet to release it publicly to let people try to mine it.
It's a little early to be declaring a fork when you don't even have the software to mine it.
Right. Well, they supposedly have forked it, but they're doing it all on this test net at this point where they all get to do pre-mining and try to mine these Bitcoin
gold
things.
Sounds like Rublecoin.
It sounds like a scam. But that's what I'm saying. I hope this fails because it will send the message out that, hey, you can try this, but it may not necessarily give you the free money giveaway
right.
that you were hoping that it would. And if Bitcoin Gold bombs, then that makes it less likely that the supposedly rumored Bitcoin Silver, which as far as I can tell is basically just a post on a, you know, an internet forum. I don't know if there's any serious push behind that either. But there was somebody saying, we're going to do Bitcoin Silver in December. Okay. Well,
dude, we already
whatever.
Have Litecoin.
Right. Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm happy about SegWit2x going away, because now we don't have five or three or four different Bitcoins. We only have Bitcoin, a.k.a. Bitcoin Core, and Bitcoin Cash.
I'm a Baskin
let
Robbins
fight it out.
Guy. I still want my 57 flavors.
You want 57 yet. Different Bitcoins?
Yep.
I don't. I'm sorry. I have to communicate about Bitcoin, and I don't like having to communicate about two of them. I wish they could have just fixed the original Bitcoin. But they couldn't, or they didn't. They couldn't come to an agreement. Or they did come to an agreement, but then people reneged on the agreement, and you know, here we are. And I say good, because now we only have two Bitcoins. One of them is fast and cheap, and the other is slow and expensive. And we just did a test here in the studio not too long ago where I pulled up the Bitcoin that I have in the Trezor and I tried to send it from SegWit address or send from a legacy address, and they're both still very expensive. The SegWit was like $3-something for the transaction. The legacy was like $4-something. If you go to they changed this. It used to be .21.co. It's now bitcoinfees.earn.com, E-A-R-N, earn. So bitcoinfees.earn.com. If you ever want to see at any moment a snapshot of what the fee situation is like at that moment, this is the best site to do it, because what it shows you is as you scroll down the page, you can see the relative amounts of like transactions that are using the different levels of fees. So you can see there's a huge wall of fees at like the smallest level of potential fees that you could send, like 1 to 10 satoshis per byte is
That's
how it's
spam.
Measured. You claim that that's the spam.
Yes,
I don't know
I do.
If that's actually true. But it is definitely taking up the majority of the network. Then as you scroll down, you can see as you get up higher and higher and higher, there's generally fewer transactions. But the people who are really serious about getting their transactions through, they're spending $300. Right now, the fastest and cheapest transaction, so the median level of transaction for Bitcoin, right now is 320 satoshis per byte. Now, to translate that, that comes out to on a median transaction, 72,320 satoshis, which right now is over $5 per Bitcoin transaction. That's what it costs to send your typical kind of Bitcoin transaction today. That's insane.
Well, the thing to keep in mind is that over time, that's going to become normal as the block reward of newly minted bitcoins falls off over time. And you're going to see these sort of transaction fees rise, particularly as we get closer to the 21 million total cap on the total issue of bitcoins.
Well, I mean, there's different reasons why the fees have gone up, but the main reason is because Bitcoin's full. The network can't handle any more transactions, and that's what caused all this controversy in the first place.
I'm at bitcoinwisdom.com/bitcoin/difficulty. There's a nice chart here that kind of illustrates what's going on, is that in the last week of October, the difficulty for Bitcoin reached an all-time high.
Really?
And immediately after that, the hashing power dedicated to Bitcoin plummeted from a little over 8.5 million terahashes per second to now where it's down to around 6.8 million terahashes per second.
Now, I'm interested to find out where that power went to. Did it go to altcoins? Did it
Good
go
question.
To Bitcoin Cash? There's no way to really find that out, is there?
No. But we're overdue for a difficulty adjustment, and that's going to be a big difficulty adjustment downwards. And as soon as that happens, I would estimate that a lot of those transaction fees will go away.
All right. Well, we'll see about that. I don't know if I have the same level of optimism as you do for the original Bitcoin. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. But I think we're better off today, even though I don't want to have two Bitcoins. I think we're better off with two because of some level of competition between those two. There's more coming up here in moments. You can take control of the airwaves on Free Talk Live.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get virtualshield.com, the world's easiest to use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at virtualshield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. Virtualshield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, years, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
You look stressed, Marie. Everything okay?
Well, I'm a little worried. Scott got a letter from the IRS that we owe $30,000. Now third-party collectors are calling. The IRS may start garnishing our wages, and we just can't afford that.
Relax, Marie. Just do what Mark and I did and call Community Tax.
Community Tax's highly accredited team of tax professionals knows how to protect your savings and stop wage garnishments, audits, levies, liens, and property seizures. Depending on your circumstances, you may only have to pay a fraction of what you owe. If you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford to pay, call our toll-free hotline to learn how you can resolve your tax problem and potentially save thousands of dollars. Don't pay a penny more than what you have to. And don't be fooled by scams or harassed by collection agencies. Even if you're already in a payment plan, call now for a free consultation. For your free 5-minute best price guarantee quote that could save you thousands, call 800-792-8287. That's 800-792-8287. 800-792-8287.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. Dial toll free. Join us right here. Our number is 855-453, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and our Skype username is lrn.fm. With you here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Mike,
and Mark.
And, of course, you can join us online. Head over to freetalklive.com. We do have a Facebook page for those of you who care about that sort of thing. You can go to facebook.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to our Facebook page. And you can click the like button. You can hit the get notifications. I think if you hover over like, at least that's the way it used to be, you can hover over that and get notifications, and then you might be more likely to see our posts because, of course, Facebook's goal is to bury your posts unless you pay them. So, you know, if you're still using the Facebook platform, you can like our page on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter as well and get, you know, some of the show prep that we use or just fun memes that sometimes we're posting to those accounts. So be sure you check that out if you're into the social media. And we're talking about Bitcoin and the new Bitcoin Cash that came out back in August, which is now going to be vying for the throne. This was the other question of, well, you know, you said, well, what's the Civil War going to be about at this point now that the SegWit2x plan is off the table? And it's going to be about who's the true Bitcoin. Who is the king of the hill? Right now, Bitcoin Core, or the sort of original Bitcoin, if you will, is up there. It's on the top. It dominates with over $120 billion in market cap right now, globally, compared to about $10 billion for Bitcoin Cash. So it's the number one and number three currencies, respectively. Bitcoin Cash certainly has a way to go if they want to beat Bitcoin in its, you know, just its price aspect. But they definitely have some interesting innovations going on there. And there's a strong argument, as the folks over at Bitcoin.com have made within the last about a month. Actually, this printed on October 16th, but we never shared it here. It's about Bitcoin. They claim Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin. Introduced as a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, Bitcoin experienced explosive exponential growth during its initial years. Users were drawn by properties of Bitcoin that allowed for cheap money transfers, instant confirmations, worldwide compatibility, round-the-clock operation, and no limitations on minimum or maximum transaction amounts. Now, I don't know if instant confirmation is an accurate statement. I would say that 10 minutes was the typical time for confirmations with Bitcoin back in the day. You would instantly know if the payment was made, generally, and there's no way to reverse it. So, I mean, you could look at that as, hey, someone made a payment, but the confirmations are the things that, you know, where Bitcoin's network confirms over and over again that, yes, this was a legitimate transaction. There was no double spend here or whatever. So I would say that's a bit of an exaggeration to say that they were instant, but they certainly were fast. Worldwide compatibility, round-the-clock operation, and no limitations on minimum or maximum transaction amounts. This electronic form of money quickly became popular with diverse groups of users all around the world. Merchants used Bitcoin to tap into a global marketplace. Migrant workers used it to send money back home for much less than Western Union. Charities and content creators used it as a virtual tip jar, collecting donations big and small from any country on Earth. Certain industries were even able to use Bitcoin to replace traditional payment methods altogether. The rapid rate of expansion continued for several years and led many to think that Bitcoin was well on its way to becoming an unstoppable revolution in financial technology. But, as is the case with all technologies, scalability inevitably became an issue. Since the very beginning of Bitcoin, people have contemplated and argued about how the system should scale, not just to millions of users, but to billions. How else could Bitcoin become accepted as a mainstream global currency? In fact, when Satoshi Nakamoto, its anonymous creator, first introduced the concept of Bitcoin in 2008, the first question asked of him was how Bitcoin could scale. He replied, quote, "The bandwidth might not be as prohibitive as you think. A typical transaction would be about 400 bytes. Each transaction has to be broadcast twice. So let's say 1 kilobyte per transaction. Visa processed 37 billion transactions in fiscal year 2008. Remember, this was when this stuff was written. Bitcoin's been around since 2009. Or an average of 100 million transactions per day. Again, that's Visa. That many transactions would take 100 gigabytes of bandwidth or the size of 12 DVDs, or about $18 worth of bandwidth at current prices. This was, again, in 2008. If the network were to get that big, it would take several years, and by then, sending two movies over the internet, or HD, he said, movies, you'd only need two of them, would probably seem like not a big deal," unquote. What started as an afterthought eventually turned into a hallmark debate among developers before devolving into an all-out schism in the Bitcoin community. Eventually, a small group of programmers calling themselves Bitcoin Core wrested control of the legacy development branch of Bitcoin and began to insist, counterintuitively, that Bitcoin was incapable of scaling to more than 250,000 transactions per day. And we actually heard this when we were at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. There was a guy who we interviewed who was like a Bitcoin collector. He collected physical bitcoins, and he insisted that Bitcoin just simply couldn't do this. It could not scale up.
Well, his reasoning sounded sound to me when I thought about the size of the just the amount of hard drive space you need in order
hard
to run.
Hard drive space is plentiful.
Not on the machine I got running.
Well, get a new machine, dude.
Well, that's the thing, is that
you can go buy a terabyte hard drive today for probably less than $60.
Yep.
And right now the blockchain's only 150 gigabytes,
right.
So you'd only take up a tenth of that hard drive or 15% of the hard drive with the current block size. So that just doesn't hold water, Mark. Anyway, going on here, they say that it can't scale to more than 250,000 transactions per day, or about 4.5 cents worth of bandwidth at 2008 prices. As the network finally hit this imposed capacity limit in 2016, Bitcoin began to lose many of the features that made it so attractive in the first place. Like I was talking about earlier, with the microtransactions, that's an impossibility now due to the Bitcoin fees. The fees have skyrocketed, says the story here at Bitcoin.com, from fractions of a penny to a peak of nearly $9 in August. Well, guess what? It's back to that level today. Anyway, going on, transaction confirmation times became increasingly unreliable, and users could find themselves waiting hours or days for their payments to clear. We talked about that tonight. Mark, I'm still waiting on the payment as of the beginning of the show. I haven't checked during the show, but it's been several hours throughout the entire day today. I think you sent it at like 11 this morning, and it still hadn't come through several hours later. so the delays are tremendous. This decline in usability caused many early retail adopters to abandon Bitcoin, either switching to competing digital currencies or returning to traditional payments entirely. New adoption slowed to a crawl, and in 2017, the number of transactions on the network began to decline for the first time in Bitcoin's 9-year history. The group calling themselves Bitcoin Core began to insist that Bitcoin was never meant to be money, after all, and was nothing other than a new speculative asset class. They also began to remove many of the defining features of Bitcoin, making transactions reversible, which to me is a shocking thing that they have done here. If this is being honest with what it's saying, and I don't know enough about this replace by fee feature, but that's what this is supposedly, if some people are saying this is a feature, to where my understanding of this is if I send, Mark, let's say you sent that Bitcoin transaction today. Yep. Let's say you sent it using the normal Bitcoin Core wallet, which you didn't, but let's say you did. If the transaction was stuck, if it hadn't gotten a confirmation, and it has not yet, in theory, as I understand it, this replace by fee feature that they added to Bitcoin would allow for, Mark, you to then say, oh, you know what?
Never mind.
I'd like to actually send that to Mike instead, or send it to you as your own in your own wallet. Send it to one of your own wallets. I'd rather you not get that, Ian, actually, even after I've sent it, even after you've already given me the product. Let's say you were buying something from me, and I gave you a car.
The car off the lot.
Something like that. And so then I'll just go ahead and resend this, replace that fee on the network, and send it to somewhere else. That's my understanding of what you can do with this. Now, I don't know if that's accurate. Have you heard?
I have not heard of this, actually, and mainly because I haven't been keeping up on that. But this is something where it's interesting that Bitcoin is supposed to be something where it's not double spendable, but this is something where you could theoretically promise it to multiple people and just keep redirecting it.
In theory. Or at least do it once. I don't know how many times you could possibly do it. I mean, it's until it confirms, until it gets that first confirmation.
That should get people to really question the motives of people on the core team.
Absolutely. So while those people would be honest and, you know, they'd let their transactions go through, this allows a dishonest person to take advantage of somebody. If I'm misunderstanding this, please correct me. It's Free Talk Live.
Earlier this year, after many years of conflict over the direction of Bitcoin, the creators of Bitcoin Cash did just what they were told to do. They forked off. Now there are two Bitcoins, the one that is run by the big bank Betsy's, and Bitcoin Cash, the one that stays true to the creator's vision. Bitcoin Cash has surprised many with its relevancy and staying power, and the price reflects it. If you believe that Bitcoin was meant to be a low-cost, easy-to-use, peer-to-peer currency that could bring economic freedom to the world, you need Bitcoin Cash. Get your Bitcoin Cash wallet right now at Bitcoin.com.
Happy the rescue dog. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby. But I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dynavite.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Super Mega fish oil free.
Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000. 860-7000.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free to bring up whatever you want. Moments remain here. We're talking about Bitcoin. What is the true Bitcoin? Is there a true Bitcoin now? Or have they all just been changed so much, the two different ones that are competing, are they so different now from the original vision of Bitcoin? And is that necessarily a bad thing? So we can talk about all that here with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
Mike.
And Mark.
Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. The folks over at Bitcoin.com have made a strong claim that the Bitcoin Cash, which was the first schism, the first fork of Bitcoin that happened, a contentious fork, where there were two Bitcoins that were competing after this fork happened on August 1st, one of them called Bitcoin Cash, the other one called Bitcoin, a.k.a. Bitcoin Core, which is the name that they call themselves. That fork happened, and the argument here is that Bitcoin Cash is actually more true to the original vision of Satoshi Nakamoto, more Bitcoin than Bitcoin is basically.
So we have Bitcoin fundamentalists.
Right. Basically. Chasing you around the white paper.
Basically. And so they're making a strong argument here, saying that one of the things that the Bitcoin Core, a.k.a. Bitcoin, has now is this replace by fee feature, which, as you pointed out during the break, is supposed to be, if used honestly, designed to, oh, you sent a transaction with too low of a fee by accident? Well, now you can increase that fee and use this replace by fee feature to make it so your transaction goes through sooner with a larger fee. But unfortunately, it can also be used to abuse the system and actually send the transaction to a completely different location. At least that's as I understand it.
I'm wondering how much of the spam might be people who are using a bot to do replace by fee a whole lot just to jam up the network.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's disturbing to me because one of the original features of Bitcoin was its immutability. The fact that as soon as you hit send, if you screwed it up, if you put in the wrong address to which to send, sorry, you ain't getting it back. Unless you happen to control that other wrong address, which is highly unlikely. So you ain't getting it back. It's irreversible. And there's a real benefit to that because it means people who are unscrupulous can't take advantage of a system. They can't do chargebacks.
Right. Take a look at PayPal. For instance. I mean, it's a wasteland at this point. People don't want to do business through PayPal because the customer's always right as far as PayPal's concerned, and people are losing product all the time through PayPal.
So they claim that that's one of the things that's going on with Bitcoin, but it's not happening with Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash doesn't have replace by fee. Bitcoin Cash, in that way, is more like the original Bitcoin once was. They also then talk about SegWit, which they claim SegWit strips digital signature data that mathematically guarantees one's Bitcoins are safe. Now, I don't know if that's true, because a lot of people have come out in favor of segregated witness. I don't know. I'm not an engineer, so I can't really assess all of these claims. I just had to make a decision as to where to send the church Bitcoin that I administer, because I needed to move it into a different wallet, and so now was my chance. Do I move it into a SegWit wallet, or do I move it into a legacy wallet? And I decided, well, you know, Eric Voorhees over at Shapeshift, he's on board with SegWit. We trust a lot of the things. You know, he's a trustworthy guy. So I figured, all right, I'll go with the SegWit thing. So now I've moved everything into the SegWit. So if it's really a danger, I don't know. Some people say it's great. Some people say, you know, it's not so great.
Well, the segregated witness is based on the idea that you really don't need everybody in the world authenticating your pizza purchase. Okay? And since the whole algorithm of Bitcoin is basically a solution to what's called the Byzantine generals problem, which in terms of having how do you reach consensus when you have a group of people who don't trust each other,
mm-hmm.
You don't need a bazillion people who don't trust each other to make that decision. You can make a trustworthy decision among people you don't trust with as small a group as three or four people, so long as you don't have more than one person that's making a traitorous decision on it. And so with a segregated witness, you have a lesser number of nodes who can participate in authenticating that transaction, and that would allow more transactions to happen on the network while still maintaining the Byzantine General's solution of Bitcoin without the amount of congestion.
So suffice it to say, there's some controversy over segregated witness. Is it doing what it's promised that it would do? Is it as effective as people said that it was going to be? Is it a danger? I don't know the answers to any of those questions, but it's definitely not what the original Bitcoin had. Now, whether that makes it better or worse, you know, is up to you to decide. But going on, having achieved much of their Contra white paper goals, this group, they're talking about Bitcoin Core here, is no longer capable, they say at Bitcoin.com, of representing fundamental Bitcoin ideals, nor are they able to advance any of the original payments-related value propositions. To be sure, those within this group are devoting hardworking and talented, but given the above facts of the matter, it's impossible for such a group to rightfully use the word Bitcoin in their name. They claim here SegWit Core seems much more appropriate. Now, I disagree with the name calling. I think that Bitcoin Core should be able to call themselves Bitcoin. They're the original chain, basically. And then Bitcoin Cash also should be able to call itself Bitcoin because it forked from the original chain. Let's let the market decide which the real Bitcoin is. But then they say here, enter Bitcoin Cash. These drastic changes being made to a proven and successful technology led a concerned group of longtime Bitcoin users to initiate a fork or split of the network on August 1st of this year. From this fork, Bitcoin Cash was born, increasing the capacity limit of each block, removing the replace by fee, and preserving a version of Bitcoin with digital signatures intact. Bitcoin Cash, being distinct from the SegWit chain, descendant of Bitcoin, has its own market price, mining network, and unique transaction history from the common ancestor block onwards. Because the Bitcoin Cash fork was created by a minority group of miners, many services still regard the SegWit chain as Bitcoin, although the two can be more accurately thought of as relatives, sharing a common ancestor. Although the SegWit chain inherited the name Bitcoin, the Bitcoin Cash chain much more closely resembles the version of Bitcoin which sparked the entire digital currency boom by being an exemplary electronic payment system. Now, just because it looks more like Bitcoin originally doesn't mean the market's going to care, right? So, like, right now, the Bitcoin Cash market price is about 8% of what a Bitcoin, a full-on single Bitcoin is. So it's like 600-something bucks right now for a Bitcoin Cash and over $7,000 for a Bitcoin. So, you know, is that one indicator that the market's saying they don't really care about Bitcoin Cash, or that the market doesn't really even know that Bitcoin Cash exists? So Bitcoin Cash has a lot of growing to
I'd
do.
I'd say mostly that.
Yeah, if it wants to have an impact in the marketplace. And hopefully we're going to see some of that over the next year, especially now that there's not going to be this continuing fight between the SegWit 2X thing that got canceled today, that fork, and the SegWit 1X or the Bitcoin Core. Despite the insistence of the SegWit core group that such forks were dangerous and would completely undermine the entire Bitcoin system, the successful hard fork of Bitcoin Cash instead seems to have proven that network splits can be a viable way to resolve differences, experiment with new features, and allow various models to compete with one another in the free market. Then the article goes on to talk about some of the forks that are planned, because at this time they thought SegWit 2x was going to be a thing, and turns out it's not, which was supposed to be this big fork that happened next week, and now that's off. So their conclusion. They say Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin. Bitcoin's intentional lack of central authority or governing body means that any serious discussion on the fundamental nature of what is Bitcoin or what Bitcoin is must be based in rational arguments and data rather than because we say so rhetoric. Based on the comparisons here between the various versions of Bitcoin, the white paper, and the years of common understanding that Bitcoin was always meant to be an electronic cash system, which is now broken for... because you can't use Bitcoin as electronic cash on small purchases anymore.
Well, I mean, it's broken for large purchases, right?
Yeah, I mean, even large purchases up to, let's say, you know, $100, $200, $300, it's broken. Big thousands-dollar purchases, yeah, you can probably still use Bitcoin for that, but that's not useful in the marketplace.
You can buy condos in a nice tower in Dubai.
Yeah, that's not useful to the average person. So it's the position of Bitcoin.com that Bitcoin Cash is the version of Bitcoin that most closely adheres to the original design. The position that Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin is based on its adherence to the design goals and intended purpose that Bitcoin was created to fulfill. And so then they go on here to say that recently the chief scientists of Bitcoin Unlimited announced they had a gigablock test net, which successfully mined and propagated the first ever 1 gigabyte block, which is, of course, many, 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 many times what the current block size
is. That's big.
And they say this demonstrates that the Bitcoin network can scale to compete directly with the mainstream payment processors. So they say they believe that Bitcoin Cash is the only fork of Bitcoin that resembles a natural continuation of the original Bitcoin invention. All of the segregated witness chains have altered so many fundamental properties of Bitcoin that it seems a stretch to refer to them by the Bitcoin name. So if you want to learn more about the canceled SegWit 2x fork, check out the Freekeen blog that I posted over at freekeen.com tonight. And in the meantime, between now and tomorrow, we'll see you online over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget forum.freetalklive.com to discuss with other listeners and hosts.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.